give your name and where are you from?
My name is Mary Lacana. I'm here from Unalaska. I'm here to testify for my mom, Helen Lacana.
Could you spell that last name, please?
L-E-K-A-N-O-F-F. My mom is at the age of 68. She is unable to come up here at the moment, and the only thing I am going to say for her right now is that during the war of 42, she was 8 months pregnant, and she had a baby girl. She had it all by herself in a building upstairs, she tells me, and she was alone at the very moment. My dad wasn't with her. And after she'd had the baby alone, she recalled some of the army guys, I believe, coming up there to tell her that she'd had to leave the building because they had to take off. And she says that the baby was no more than at least maybe 2 hours, I guess, old. And she took the baby with her. They went aboard the boat and left here. I don't know where they were going to. But being on the boat at that time, the baby had died. And so they buried the baby in Kodiak. That is all I have to say for her. That was a big loss to her.
My name is Paul Merkuliev, M-E-R-C-U-L-I-E-F, 1F. I'm from St. George Island, now residing at Nikolsky. I was about 3.5 years old when myself and the family, everyone, were evacuated from St. George. That I cannot remember, but there are a few things that I remember toward before we were returned in 1944. I was a little over 5 years old then. But I remember the two-story building that we lived in right by the shore, and it was on pilings, and during high tide, there was a lot of water swishing around underneath the one-floored building. I was with my grandfather and my aunt. We were on the second level, so we were a little warmer. But mom and dad were on the lower outside corner, and they got a lot of draft and a lot of moisture because of the sea when the tide came in. There was one potbelly large stove on each floor that supposedly was to warm the floors. During winter, I remember it was cold and we had to have heavy clothing. Coal was our fuel that was brought in from Seattle. My grandfather, who was a venerable old man, saw an old, dilapidated little building and asked for it, and he was given it, and it was little ways as you look onto the Funter Bay, St. George side of Funter Bay from the bay, it would be toward the right. There was, it might have been about 12 by 12, 10 by 10, but he had at least his own little building, and I spent most of my time there with him. There was a pile of what must have been used for railroad ties, because there was a rail running there that we'd push the cart and give ourselves a ride every now and then when it was available. And we played on that. And it was near the village dump And at night, there were times when the deer came and we used the flashlight and shined on them and watched them. My grandfather would do that for me. And I remember one time in fall, probably late September, when the people returned from, the men returned from the Pribilof seal harvest, that salted seal meat was brought that our people had depended largely upon for their subsistence. And I remember my grandfather having boiled some, it was the ribs, cut it, and gave it to me as we would give a popsicle to our children. I remember my cousin Nicholas Lesenkoff and I, we were munching on this salted seal, and it was a new thing to me, and I enjoyed it. The other quarters, as you look onto the bay, was to the left where the bachelors were quartered. I remember going there a few times because my uncle was there. And I remember one time that my grandfather took me to the little building that they used as a hospital when, in fact, Mary Lekanov's grandfather, Alexander Galanin, passed away, and we had just gone there, and I remember him being laid up in that little hospital. There was no privacy. Later on in the years, some kind of door, board doors were put on the rooms. But prior to that, there was, blankets were used. And I remember the women complaining about some peeping toms that walked the halls every now and then. I remember arriving St. George on the Zapadny side, which is 5 miles southwest of the village. We turned back, it was toward evening, and I was like a young antelope prancing around the village because of the grass, the green, and wide open spaces that we did not have at Funter Bay. I remember we went out to the store as it was getting dark and picked up a few supplies for the night to sustain ourselves. And that's as far as I could remember of our late period of the evacuation and the return.
Thank you very much, Mother Paul.
Yes, Father, I'm just wondering, as you look back, as young as you were, do you have this experience suffered by the Aleuts affected you in any way, changed your life, or in a negative way? Has it hurt you?
No, I would say no. I was young enough not to get affected by it, but seeing and hearing of the village life before that and afterwards, they had gotten a taste of urban life and the unpleasant habits associated with that, that there was a change that was remarked upon by the older men that I heard, and they felt sorry for it. I was fortunate in that I was raised by my grandfather, and as a young child I knew Aleut. And but sometimes the effect doesn't show up, but later on in the 50s there were some negative aspects that the older people said resulted and attributed it to the evacuation period with somewhat pessimism attitude that had grown on others that didn't have it prior to that.
You're quoting your elders in that. What is your reaction to their reaction?
When I look back upon some of the things and reflect, I share their same concern and way.
Then let me ask, do you feel that this change would have come inevitably, or is it due directly to the evacuation and the relocation?
It, with the different, the change that had with the communication with the outer world, brought it at a much faster or an accelerated rate than the people were mentally capable of gradually making the change, because many of our men who were not inducted into the Army service, that was another, a different life, worked at the military installations, mostly at Excursion Inlet and also at Juneau. And they had the different urban taste of life, where the St. George and St. Paul people were treated more in a plantation way of life previous to this. So the changes were quite sudden and accelerated more than they would have been prepared for later. And I have to admit that when the Army went over to St. Paul, they built an air base, and the St. Paul people had more access to outside communication and meeting the outside people because of the weekly flights on the airplane.
So you feel that even with the continuation of what you characterized as a plantation type of life, that the people would have been better prepared to meet a change in the social condition?
Come again on that, please.
You characterize the life as a plantation type of life, and even with the continuation of that, the people would have been better prepared at a later date for a change in the social conditions.
Yes, that came to the Pribilofs, especially in the 50s, the early 50s. One change that was brought about through this was the wage earning. It wasn't much, but at least we earned wage. Prior to this, we had a bonus on the number of seal skins that were harvested and fox pelts trapped during the winter into shares. And it was one step forward to this. It was the government, when I look back, tried to do it gradually, but there were other factors that had already been in motion that speeded this up. And yet the people, the younger people, were a little more geared for it, but the older people, it was very hard for them to change their way of life. And I just like to mention that one little thing that I forgot this morning for the Nikolsky is that we'd like to see a stone monument both in Nikolsky and at Kitchikan Cemetery, listing the names of those who had passed away during the evacuation, so that their memory will be remembered by the rest of the generation that follows us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Father. Is there any more witnesses? would like to testify? Well, if not, that's Mark time to get up. I wonder if I can just go off the record on this, because this is really not testimony on my part, but still I would like to make some comments off the record. And I see particularly young people here, and this will probably, I don't get out to Unalaska that often. I'm afraid this will be my first and last time, and it'll be my only opportunity. I have been finding and listening to the Aleut experiences, many of the very same things that the Japanese Americans experienced. It's true, there are many big differences. We were suspected because of our race of possibly being disloyal, which of course is completely untrue. They cannot say that of the Aleuts. There is one, that's the one big difference. But other than that, the experience has been strikingly similar. The suffering has been similar in many instances. The young lady over here who testified about being ashamed of being an Aleut at one point in her life, it's also the same experience that the Japanese Americans had. Incidentally, as you may know, we call ourselves Nisei, which means second generation. And the Nisei too felt shame. And I, particularly the young people, when you find out fully, and you owe it to yourself because it is part of your heritage, about what your parents and your grandparents went through, I think you will be mighty, mighty proud of it. You will be mighty, mighty proud to be an Aleut, as you should be. And personally, I'm hopeful that whether or not the state of Alaska, the education department, includes the story of the Aleuts, and I trust they shall. But rather than waiting for that, I would hope that the story will be available to those particularly of Aleut background. It should be made available to all, but particularly to you, because it has a very special meaning to you, and it will strengthen you as you grow. I know what I say here you may not really understand fully, but I'm not saying this only because with that thought, I know that there will come a point in your life, hopefully you will remember what I said, and that indeed it will be true for you. I think that's all.
I think that out of these hearings, one part of the quest of many people will be made more known to the American public as a whole. Because out of these hearings and the publication of the hearings will come a great deal more information that the American public will be able to read, and will be able for the first time to understand a little bit about the Aleuts and the problems of this far north. So, pleasure to be able to sit in on these hearings. Thank you all.
And I would like to thank the audience for the support, and I'm very pleased that I see school children here, that they got part of it, and also want to thank all the witnesses that came forward. I will close the meeting with a prayer to Coach Nas in Slavonic, our Father. Amen.
Thank you.